My theme for this morning, it's getting closer. I want to ask you the question this morning. Is there any one of you that want to get closer to the Father? Two of you, three of you. Okay, so all of us wants to get closer to the Father, am I right? Okay. Now, if I ask you to tell me, so what do you think you're supposed to do to get closer to the Father? Now, without giving me a sermon, because I'll do that. But if I ask you, okay, so what do you have to do to get closer to the Father? What will you say? Put up a hand that I can see. Build relationships. Spend time in the Word and with His wife. Oh, that will glorify Christ if you spend time with your wife. I can promise you that. Something else? Come on, guys. We're a church. You don't know how to get closer to the Father. Praise and worship. Say again. Prayer, fellowship, fasting. To be holy like God is holy. You see the thing? Yes? Sorry? Spend time in His presence. You see, in the end of the day, I think what's important here is that if we talk about getting closer to the Father, we all know what to do. Most of us know what to do to get closer to the Father. Am I right? Okay. Did you know that last week? Don't raise hands now, but how many of you are closer to the Father today than last week, last Sunday? You see what I'm saying, what I'm asking or trying to show you? I think all of us, often we know what we're supposed to do to get closer to the Father, but a lot of times we find ourselves in a place where we're not growing closer to the Father. Am I right? In Afrikaans, there's the word stagneer. Now, all of us, we believe, no, I'm growing. I'm not stagneering. I'm moving ahead. I'm not staying at the same place all the time. But so often, if we try and measure it from week to week, then we need to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, but I'm actually not moving somewhere. I'm staying in the same place. And you see, the reason for that, I believe, is that because for us to grow closer to the Father, for all of us to grow closer to the Father, there has to be change. Now, that change, I can promise you, it's not God that's going to change. God is going to be the same. So in that relationship between Him and you, if God is not the one that's going to change, well, then I wonder who's supposed to change. It's us. But to change is not just something that happens. That's a decision that we make. But now normally we can't change ourselves. God is the one changing us. But we've got to create the opportunities for God to change us. If we don't allow God to change us, if we don't step into that opportunities that I believe that God creates a lot of times for us to change, we're not going to change. We're going to stay the same. And our relationship with God is going to stay the same. That's not going to change. And therefore, I think it's important for us to realize that we need to get to a place where we basically say, okay, I want to get closer to the Father. I know what I'm supposed to do to get closer to the Father. But today I choose to change something. So I'm not going to continue with my life with everything the way it is. And yes, I think all of us or most of us can say, you know, I've been there and praise God, I'm not there anymore. I've grown to this place where I am today and that's great and that's the way it's supposed to be. But still, we don't have to stay where we are today. We can still move forward to another place where we've got a closer relationship with God. Because, I mean, who of us in this place this morning don't want to hear God's voice better than you hear it today? Who of you don't want to see His glory every single day, more than you see it maybe today? We all want to go there. But that all starts with a choice. And I think, if I look at my own life, and I think, okay, I want to grow closer to the Father. I believe God called me maybe for certain things or whatever of these things I want God to be able to do through my life, but He's not doing it. then maybe there's certain things that needs to change my life. But where do I start? Because all of us, if you ask people, okay, make a list of the things you think God wants to change in your life, we can all make a list of 10 or 20 things that we think, okay, this. And if we look at that list, so often what happens is it's just so much that we just, okay, God, thank you for your grace, thank you for your glory, don't want to look at that, and we don't change. Okay. Now, I'm not saying we're going to choose stuff from that list today. That's not what I'm saying. But I want to share a scripture with you. I believe something that really brings us closer to the Father. And by bringing us closer to Him, that will help us to change. And in doing this today, we will see one or two things. Basically, we'll see two things. Of areas where you can choose to change today. Because sometimes I think it's necessary for us just to get a little bit practical of, okay, you hear maybe a word today and you realize, okay, yes, I can change in that. But why I told you this whole story is basically to help you to get to a place where you can choose today and say, okay, I'm going to change that. This is not going to stay the same. Today, this is going to change. So to get there, we can go to Matthew 22 from verse 36 to 39. And this is the disciples talking to Jesus, and they're saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment, the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now you think, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you think you'll get closer to God? These guys, okay. I think just quickly greet the person next to you. Tell that person, it's nice to see you here this morning. And I'm also excited to be here this morning. Okay, can we try again? If you love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart and mind, you think you'll get closer to God? Okay, that sounds better. Now, this is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, now you see the thing there is, for all of us, if we think about, okay, loving God, we make it very spiritual, and we can pray and say, Lord, we love you, and we can worship and everything. Lord, we love you with all our heart and soul and mind and everything. And God says, okay, but the way to show it is to your neighbor, to the person next to you. So don't tell me how much you love me. Show me how much you love me. And then what we, the spiritual thing we do is on our knees and is crying and everything. And I think it's sometimes it's like God saying, no, get up. Go to your neighbor. Go to the person in your cell group. Go to that person in church. Go to the one you pass every day, that person that you notice that person. You don't know why, but you notice that person, but you never speak to that person. Go to that person. You want to show your love to me? That's where you express your love. And if we look at this scripture, I think the important thing to see is it starts in verse 36 by saying, which is the great commandment in the law? This is not the great suggestion. This is not the great idea. This is the great commandment. What does that mean? This is something God expects from you. So God is basically saying, if you tell me you love me, then I want to see this. Then this must be there. It's not, it would be nice if it's there. This must be there. This is a commandment, not a suggestion or idea or anything else. This must be there. And I want to ask the question, but how is it that a loving, graceful, merciful God will come to us with something and say, okay, listen, guys, this is something you must do. This is something you must get right. Because that's basically what he's saying there by saying this is a commandment. And the answer is simply, this is what you were created for. It's to love. You were not created for anything else. You were created to love. God sent His Holy Spirit to earth to dwell where? Inside of us. Not inside buildings, inside of us. Why? To love the people around you through you. That's what you were created for. If God can't love the people around you through you, may I say, then you're missing your main calling. Then you miss what you were created for. God wants to express His love to the world through you. When He sent Jesus to earth, what did He do? He expressed His love to the world through Jesus. Jesus left, sent the Holy Spirit, and today wants to express His love to people of this world through you. And that's why I say this is a commandment. This is a must. This is something you need to get right. Is loving one another. Because if you don't, He can't do through you what you were created for. And yes, we can get busy, and we can make a lot of money, and we can give a lot of money to charities and to churches and everything. We can do a lot of good out there. But if we don't love one another, then all of that means nothing. Because God loved the world. And we so often say, but you know, we're God's hands and feet. Now, if you're God's hands, you need to be able to stretch them out towards people. If you're God's feet, you need to be able to move towards people. That's what it means to be God's hands and God's feet. It's in a place where we go out and we express God's love to those people. The second thing we can see, if we look at the scripture, is it says that you should love one another. Now, I don't know if I'm different than you guys, but for me, it's not very easy to love people if I don't build a relationship with them. And why I say that is because if I look at the scripture, what I actually see is like a calling from God's side to us for fellowship. God's calling us to a place of having fellowship with one another, of reaching out towards one another, where it's not about me, but it's about community. That's the place God is calling us to. Because He's saying we should love one another. But if I can't get to a place where I just stand still for a moment and listen to someone else, look into someone else's eyes, I can't love that person. So very simply put, is we all need to spend time with one another, spend time with other people. If we don't do that, it's going to become very difficult to love people. And then the third thing I want to show you here is verse 39, it says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now the interesting thing about it is when I read it, I thought by myself, okay, but you know, there's actually a lot of people that when they look in the mirror, they don't like what they see, to be honest. And if He says you should love your neighbor as you love yourself, then the standard is not very high. And that's why in John 13:34, God says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. God coming, giving a new commandment. By giving that new commandment, basically what He does is He raises the standard. And say, guys, just loving other people the way you love yourself is not high enough. You need to love people the way that I love you. That's what you need to do. And if I think about the way that God loves me, the way that God loves you, then I know that's the kind of love where God doesn't judge me. That's the kind of love where God receives me just the way I am. When I say God doesn't judge me, I know there will be a day where all of us will stand in front of God and will be judged. But I'm talking about now. If I go to God anytime, any place, and want to talk to God, He's there. You'll never say, no, I don't want to listen. You'll never say, no, you're not good enough. Because if I think about my life today, it's not perfect. If I go towards God, He opens up His arms and He receives me. He don't judge me. He receives me just the way I am. If I think back to the day where I got saved, nothing was different. I didn't deserve to step into God's presence. I didn't deserve to be called a son of God. My life was a mess. But when I went towards God that day, He received me just the way I was. He did not judge me. And if He did judge me that day, He would have pushed me away. I wouldn't have been able to get closer. I would have been pushed away from Him. That's why He did not judge me that day. He received me just the way I was. But again, if I think about Jesus, if I think about Him saying, okay, we should love one another in the same way that He loves us. It's a love of acceptance the way we are. It's a kind of love where He makes Himself vulnerable. It's the kind of love where He are willing to crucify Himself for me. It's a kind of love where He never said, this is what I'm going to get out of this. It's the kind of love where He gave without expecting anything back. That's the kind of love that He had towards us. And what He's saying here is that's the kind of love I expect to be between you. Not a great suggestion or idea, but command. As I want to see this love between all of you. So what we can see if we look at that is it's very clear that God expects us to love one another. But I think that kind of love that He's talking about is looking a little bit different than maybe what we are living in today. And that's why I say it's like God is coming and saying, listen, I want to raise the standard. This is not what I call the church to be. According to the Word, that's what I call the church to be. This is what the world should see if they look at the church. Now, if we talk about loving one another, again, it's one of those things where we can walk out of here and we can also, okay, so we should love one another. But you can break that loving one another up into so many little pieces. And I want to focus today on two of those, let's call it pieces. I want to focus on two of those things of what does love for one another look like. And the first thing I want to talk about is trust. And when we talk about trust, the interesting thing, when I went to Scripture to see if there's any Scripture that talks about trusting one another, there isn't a Scripture like that. So what I notice is there's a big difference between trusting God and trusting people. And I just want us to look at that. And firstly, like I said, I want to look at trusting God. We all know that we're supposed to put our trust in God, right? Okay, I want to read you a psalm from David, Psalm 143. Where he talks about trusting God and what that looks like. Because I think it's important for us to see what does trust in God looks like. And I'm going to read it from verse 6. It says, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground, for your name's sake. O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversities of my soul, for I am your servant. Words of David. If I read that, there's one or two interesting things I see. On the one side, I see someone pouring out his soul in front of God, asking God to give him direction, asking God to give him a breakthrough in the place where he's at. When I listen to the words of David, what I can see there is he's just talking in such a way where if God doesn't come through for him, then it's probably his end. But then when I read it, I saw something very interesting there in verse 12. And he says, "And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies." Now, I don't know how many of you, when you pray for your enemies, you pray for God to cut them off and to destroy them and stuff like that. Because you see, the interesting thing about it is actually not scriptural. Because God says that we should love our enemies. But yet David talks about God that must cut off his enemies. And you see, why it's so interesting is this actually shows us something about his trust in God. Because at that moment, that's the way David feels. It's not about whether it's right or whether it's wrong. That's the way he feels. And David trusts God so much that he will express how he feels at that stage. Scriptural or unscriptural, he'll express how he feels. And he trusts God enough that God will not turn his back on him. Because you see, so often we're in situations and we're in places where we feel certain things. And then it's like we put up this face in front of God of being all holy, quoting all the correct scriptures, not sharing our heart with God. You know, it's fine if you had a place in your life where you feel angry even towards God, that you can tell it to Him. Because all He wants from you is to be honest with Him. He knows anyway. So you can quote all the nice scriptures then of who He is and how you feel, that kind of stuff. But He can see inside your heart. And only when you can really open up your heart and express to Him the way you feel, whether that looks nice or not nice, that shows trust. And that's what I saw in this psalm. Is David is not just saying that he's trusting God. He's putting his trust in Him. He's not just saying it, he's showing it by saying what he feels. And that's very special to be able to see that. And I think therefore it's important for each of us to realize, okay, so if we talk about trust in God, what we're actually talking about is, yes, we're talking about opening up our souls to give God everything. I almost want to say that raw stuff inside that we try to hide so often. To give God that. That's what trust looks like. To tell Him everything. Trust in God is a place where we can ask Him to give us direction. It's a place where we can ask Him to give us guidance, to give us wisdom, to show us the path, to lead us out where we are. That's what trust in God looks like. And may I say, that's not what trust in man is supposed to look like. And that's why there's no scripture saying you should trust one another. Now, when I say this, I know some of you are thinking, so we shouldn't trust other people. That's what you're saying. I knew this. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is trust in people is looking a lot different than trust in God. Because if you put the same trust that you're supposed to have in God, if you put that same trust in people, they're going to fail you. Because no man can save you. Only God can. So if you look towards people to be your redemption, you're going to have a problem. If you look towards people to be your breakthrough, you're going to have a problem. Because that trust is supposed to be in God. But what then about trust in man? I'm going to read you scripture. James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, I'll get to the trust part now. But the scripture is saying, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So what God is saying in this scripture, if you are willing to open yourselves up towards other people, The fruit of that can be healing to your body. You see, what God is saying here is it's almost like He's drawing us closer towards each other. Because a lot of times we think, okay, but I must just, you know, me and God and spend time with God and all those things, and I'll receive my healing. But it's like He's bringing this, oh, love one another thing even in there. Because yes, you can just spend time with God and all that stuff and God can heal you. I'm not saying He can't. Yes, He can. But what I see in this scripture is God saying, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That even in spending time with one another, opening yourself up to one another, because of that, healing can come. And where the whole trusting comes in, I want to ask you, but will you confess your sins to someone that you don't trust? No, we won't. And that's why I say what I see in Scripture is we are supposed to trust each other. We are supposed to move to a place where we trust each other. Because what are we supposed to share with each other? Our sins. What's that? It's the things we hide from other people. God is actually coming and saying, you know, those things that you like to hide from other people, to look better in the eyes of other people, you know, those things, I want you to tell that to other people. The fruit of that can be healing for your body. But He's calling us to a place where we have to put trust in people around us. He's calling us to a place of relationship towards each other. And I just want to underline or highlight again. So God is saying we should put trust in each other. But that trust is looking a lot different than our trust in Him. Because no man can take His place. So there's that one side where we put all our trust in Him for direction, for everything. If He doesn't come through, we've got a problem. It's the end. But with man, it's almost like God is calling us to a place where He's saying, you know that trust that you've got for me, that trust you put in me for breakthrough, for change, I want you to share that with someone else. So when you're in that place of trusting God for breakthrough, don't look to someone else for breakthrough, but look to someone else to trust with you for that breakthrough. Look to someone else to stand with you for change to come. Confess your sins to one another so that change can come. But part of loving one another, we can't love one another, grow to a place of loving one another, if we can't first grow to a place of trusting one another. So it's important for us to have that kind of relationships with each other where it's not, Afrikaans word again, oppervlakkig. But we grow into deep relationships with each other where we journey together, where we trust together, where we share not only the good stories we want to tell people, but we share with people the bad stories. Those things we like to hide from other people. Those things that makes us vulnerable, like Jesus made Himself vulnerable. Because remember, He said He's calling us to the place of loving one another like He did. And He made Himself vulnerable. So He's calling us to that same place. And then I want to move on basically to my last point. And this is acceptance, the topic of acceptance. Romans 15 verse 7, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, if you look at different translations, I see, for instance, in the King James, it says not welcome one another, it says receive one another as Christ has welcomed you or has received you for the glory of God. Now, why it says that for the glory of God, it's basically it's like answering a question that we might ask. We might ask, okay, Lord, so why do we need to receive other people like You received us? And He answers that question by saying, for the glory of God. So he's saying, don't receive other people because that's what you want to do. Don't receive other people because it makes you feel good. He's saying, receive other people, accept other people, so that I can be glorified. That's what that verse is saying. Because you see, so often we think about accepting other people and we think, I can do that. You know, Lord, I really like Yanni and I really like Sunny, and because we've got this thing going and we just, you know, clicked from the first time we've met and that kind of stuff. So I can receive or accept other people. And then he will say, but I'm not only talking about Yanni and Sunny. I'm talking about that person, that person, that person as well. And then often we get to that place where we say, but Lord, you know, that person really ticks me off. I don't know what it is, Lord, getting all spiritual. I don't know what it is, but I just pick up there's something wrong there. And then God will say, but I want you to welcome that person, to receive that person, to accept that person, to glorify me. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how it makes you feel. It's all about me. I want you to receive that person to glorify me. And you see, if we talk about receiving people, accepting people, the problem is, if you think about it, why don't we receive people? Because we judge them. We look at people and we judge them, and because of that, we can't receive them. And may I say that because we judge them, we can't love them. Because you see, it's impossible to love someone that you judge. You can't do that. And that's why God is calling us to a place of accepting other people. That's why he says, therefore welcome or receive or accept one another as Christ has welcomed, received or accepted you. Again, looking back at the day I got saved. If God judged me that day, I can promise you I wouldn't not only not stand on a pulpit or behind a pulpit today, I won't be in a church today if God judged me that day. But what happens so often is we judge other people. We don't receive them. We don't accept them. And in doing that, what we're actually doing is instead of drawing them closer, we push them away. And that's why God is coming and he's saying, I want you to get this thing right. I want you to do this because of my glory, to glorify me. Basically calling us to a place of dying in that moment so that he can be glorified. Telling ourselves it's not about me. Conceita and Torres is very excited this morning. I'm glad. But that's the place where God is calling all of us to. It's to a place in talking about loving one another on the one side, it's to a place of trusting one another. But on the other side, it's also a place of accepting one another. Because we can't love one another if we don't do that, if we can't get that right. Matthew 12 verse 30 says, whoever is not with me is against me. Now it's easy if we listen to that scripture, just we all will say, okay, but Lord, I'm with you. It's obvious, you know, if you're not with me, you're against me. But Lord, I'm with you. But the scripture doesn't end there. It says then, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So what he's saying, whoever does not gather with me scatters, is actually saying all of us, we're doing one of two things. We either gather or we scatter. He's saying, if you don't gather, you're against me. But we either gather or we scatter. And this is the place where this becomes personal for all of us. Because this is a place where we can talk about change, we can talk about loving one another, but this is the place where we must look at the fruit in our own lives. And if you look at the fruit in your own life, I don't only want to ask, do you gather or do you scatter? I want to ask you, what does the relationships around you look like? Are you drawing people towards God or are you pushing people away? Is that place that where we need to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, but Lord, I'm not gathering. And according to your word, then I'm scattering. So something inside of me needs to change so that you can be glorified. So that I can work with you in gathering and not scattering. To me, it's really like God is, it's like, and I don't think it's only with us, I think it's with his body. It's like God is at a place where he wants to raise the standard of what his body should look like. Last week I prayed and I was just thinking about this whole thing about of God, because I really felt that God was talking to me about raising the standard. Not in shofar, this is what he's doing in his body. He's raising the standard. And I got this picture of when you, when you run a race, if you need to go around that field for 4 times, beginning you run, you've got all this rules and stuff in your head in place. Okay, I must get this thing right. It's about breathing. It doesn't matter whether there can be 3 or 4 people in front of me. And all those kind of things is there. You've got all these plans of how you're doing this thing. But when you come to the pale vlak, what's that in Afrikaans? Ach, in English? The home stretch. If you get to the home stretch, then all the rules change. Then at that moment, it's not about, now I can be in the third or the fourth place, it's all right, and I must get my breathing right, and pace must, it's not about all, any of that doesn't matter anymore. The rules change when you come to that last stretch, going to the end. And to me, what I'm experiencing is like God is saying, but this is where we are at today. We're not going around the field another time. We're on this last stretch. So the rules is going to change now. That's what I'm experiencing God saying. And that's why this thing of loving one another is so important. Where God is saying, I'm not moving on. We're not going to look at other stuff and other things. We need to get this right. Because this is my body. And it says here, in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So if that love for one another is not visible, people will not know that you are my disciples. And if we look at this world, the condition that this world is in, this world needs love. And this world needs love from the church. You were created to love. You were created for His Spirit to dwell inside of you. You were created so that He can love the world through you. If we can't grow to that place, then we're missing Him. According to Scripture, we can't be called disciples. So God is calling us to that place. And just two simple things, trust and acceptance. In the beginning, I spoke about us that needs to change, having all the answers of how we can change. I want to challenge you today, this next week, to look at the way you trust people, and to look at the way you accept people and to change that. If you can change that in the following week, then by next Sunday you can say, I've grown closer to God, something has changed. If you don't do that, then next Sunday is just another Sunday where we're going to say, nothing changed. I'm not growing closer to God, I'm still at the same place. Is it fine if I challenge you with that? What I want us to do now, just to finish off the sermon, is we're going to do communion. But I want to ask you to sit two together for that communion. And when you sit with someone else, what I want to ask you to do this morning is to put some trust in that person. I'm not saying you must pour out your whole life here this morning. If you want to, you can do that. But I'm not saying that's what you're supposed to do. But sit with someone else this morning and share with that person something that goes on in your life. And after doing that, pray for each other. And after praying for each other, then take communion together. So I'm not going to do the communion thing here from the front. I want you to do it together. Because to me, that's the place where community starts. That's the place of trusting people starts. That's the place where accepting people starts. So we're changing this. We're starting this in church today. But I want to challenge you that when you leave later on, don't feel that's something only for in church, but to do that outside in this world as well. So you can quickly move to someone, share with that person something that that person can pray for you. After that, take communion, and then I'll finish off with prayer.